Following is a meditation on the challenges we face today in the COVID-19 virus as a way to help us address this immediate challenge, but also to set the scene for an integral response that will foster a deeper transformation that will enable us to face the many crises that increasingly impinge upon our lives today, from climate change to worldwide conflict, and from increasing economic disparity to the many isms that have come to characterize our polarized world. I'm calling this meditation Addressing Fear, for in the face of threat, our immediate experience is always fear. More accurately, it is a hormonal fight or flight response impelled by the sympathetic system that releases adrenaline into our bodies. Anxiety is a kind of emotional overlay that is produced by stories and memories, stories that we have inherited from the collective, and memories of personal experiences. It is the combination of these two reflex actions that generate fear, which can range from mild anxiety to absolute petrification and a self-fulfilling prophecy. Another way of putting it is that there are two kinds of fear. One is a practical fear born of not knowing how to do something. This fear can be addressed directly by learning and practicing certain skills. Sailing a small boat provides a simple example. If I learn and practice certain skills of filling the sail with wind and turning the rudder against the current, I can move forward. I can overcome the practical fear of not knowing how to sail, in other words, by controlling what I can. In the same way, there are many practical things we can do to address or at least mitigate this aspect of fear in the context of COVID-19. These include the following, which we're becoming increasingly familiar with. Know the facts. Get clear information. Avoid blaming. There's plenty of that to go around. Seek appropriate help about concrete steps to take, like washing hands, keeping your home clean, etc. Don't procrastinate. Prepare for the worst. Connect. Reach out to others. Sing. Play games. And practice self-compassion and self-care. This practical fear can be addressed in this way because it has to do with things we can control. The other kind of fear, however, is born of simply not knowing. It is an existential fear produced by the awareness of infinite realities and the realization that I have essentially no control over these. It is the experience of my own mortality and the fear of annihilation. This fear can only be addressed by entrusting oneself to this reality, which involves letting go of any illusion of control. To return for a moment to the sailing analogy, in order for me to apply the practical skills of holding the tension of the wind and the current of the sea, I have to entrust myself to the reality of the wind and the sea, which I don't control. But when this happens, I can use the practical skills to work with this larger reality and experience the joy of sailing. In a similar way, when I encounter challenges in life, if my responses to these two kinds of fears are brought together, I can act in ways to mitigate the immediate challenge and also experience the joy of living. Doing this, however, has been made increasingly difficult by the culture-driven belief that we are separate from this infinite reality and that we have to actually struggle and compete with it and with each other in order to simply survive and thrive in whatever way we can. This illusion, for this is what it is the real threat as well as the real cause of this deeper existential fear. In the present context of COVID-19, which is generating both kinds of fear, we need an approach that addresses both. We need to cultivate an awareness of being part of a larger reality that includes the coronavirus, and we have to learn and practice certain skills that will enable us to work with this reality that we don't control. Only in this way will we be able to live creatively with and respond creatively to this virus and to the many more viruses and other threats we will continue to meet on our evolutionary journey. So let's look at how we might cultivate and expand our awareness of being part of a larger reality. From this perspective, it becomes possible to see this present crisis as an opportunity for deeper transformation, though perhaps it might be more accurate to describe it as an offer we can't refuse. Wendell Berry, the Kentucky farmer poet, offers us a simple practice in a poem he calls The Peace of Wild Things. He says, "When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free." Wonderful, wonderful thoughts. When despair for the world grows in me, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water. I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. This is essentially joining with the world we have assumed ourselves to be separate from, joining in an act of solidarity. This practice, in fact, allows us to take our virus-related policy of staying at home to a new and critical level. Cultivating the experience of staying at home like this, whether outside or inside, can be a ritual, a sacred act, and a rite of passage into a larger, expanded awareness. All initiation rites involve a death. Death to the previous stage, from childhood to adulthood, for example. Death to an old way of seeing and doing. What we are facing today, what we all must face ultimately, is an initiation rite into a new stage of our evolution, where death is no longer a threat, but an essential part of the unfolding of life. It is like breathing out in order for new breath to breathe in. This initiation rite is, in fact, our only way into full living, true peace, and real freedom. Just to take a look at Berry's words again, "When despair for the world grows in me is the time when we can no longer deny the reality that we face, the reality of death. The rite of initiation then begins by stepping into a sacred place that reflects the larger reality of interbeing, what Berry calls the peace of wild things, where death is no longer the sword that hangs forever over our heads, where these wild things do not tax themselves with forethought of grief. In this place, in the presence of still waters, I experience the life we share with everything, including the day-blind stars waiting with their light. The new stage that this initiation brings us into is characterized by expanded awareness that expresses itself in gratitude and appreciation for the grace of the world. This is the freedom we truly seek. So let me offer you a mindfulness practice that can help us do this. Even if you're not able to go outside to what we have traditionally called the world of nature. The world of nature is not confined to outside, to the trees, but is essentially the world of interbeing. So, wherever you are, whether at home or at home in the woods, position yourself comfortably, relaxed but alert, your back straight, your hands in your lap, eyes closed or softened, to help you to go within to a deeper place. And take three deep breaths. In through your nose and out through your mouth. Then breathe normally. And try to let go of all the thoughts that are racing around in your mind by simply paying attention to your breath as you breathe in and out deliberately. In your mind, softly say the theme, addressing fear. Repeat this a few times like a mantra. Now continue to deepen your connection to this moment. When you find yourself distracted, simply return to your breath and the theme of today, addressing fear. Let's hold this just for a few moments. Now, notice the other beings around you. The trees, the grasses, the birds, the clouds, if you are outside, or if you are inside the floor, the ceiling, the rug, the colors, the sounds, and if you are fortunate to have them, your own animal pets. The peace of wild things who do not trouble themselves with forethought of grief. Be present to them. Feel their being. Feel your oneness with them. All of us held by the same reality we call life or God. Stay with this feeling for a few moments. Rest in the grace of the world and be free. Stay with this for a while. Pause the recording if you wish and return when you're ready. And now gently return to this present moment, to your own body. And when you are ready, open your eyes. Feel the connection, the presence, the awareness, the calm, the trust that surrounds you. From this perspective of the grace of the world, we can see the practical things, the concrete steps we can take to help mitigate our present challenge, washing our hands, social distancing, and so forth. Also, as a ritual and as part of this rite of passage into an expanded awareness that we are all going through, we can encourage this attitude by doing these practical things a little more mindfully. So let me look at some suggestions for application throughout the day and the days ahead. There certainly will be many opportunities for both of these practices, for both can help address the fear we experience in the sense of responding to the immediate threat, but also, and perhaps more importantly, in the sense of learning to entrust ourselves to and work with the larger reality of life. An added dimension of allowing these steps to become more of a sacred act and a rite of passage into a new way of seeing and living in the world is to share our experiences with one another. The mindfulness exercise can clearly be done alone, but also with family or online with colleagues, and will clearly elicit sharing about the deeper realities that we otherwise tend to avoid. Of course, Zoom chats with family and friends can also allow us to share some of the practical things we've been doing to help us address the immediate fear we all feel. Perhaps, in fact, bringing these two responses together, the way I describe bringing together the two aspects of sailing, will allow us not only to function more efficiently, but also to experience the joy of living in the face of infinite realities that otherwise would overwhelm and destroy us. So let me finish with a closing couple of comments. Fear is part of living. We have parsed it out into two kinds in a way that can help us not only to address our current threat, but also to learn how to live in ways that many of us seek, but feel helpless to achieve. Today is a kind of an opportunity in a sense. We are threatened not only as individuals, but as a collective, as a species. Our way of living and the assumptions on which it is built is under threat. In a way too, the only real change is change that happens to the collective, for the collective essentially determines how its members think and act. The implication here, then, is that we use this crisis of a collective threat to reconnect to the real world that is beneath the illusions of separateness and superiority we have come to believe as a collective, and then learn to live appropriately in that real world. In order to do that, we have to go through a kind of initiation rite that brings us to a new and expanded awareness. In the world of deep spirituality, the real world, the infinite, is referred to as the Mysterium Tremendum et Fascinans, which means, translated, a mystery before which humanity both trembles and is fascinated, is both repelled and attracted. It is here before this mystery that we now stand. So I offer you good wishes and blessings as you embark on this venture of a lifetime, of a collective lifetime, in fact. Perhaps, in fact, this will prove to be the way to the good, the just, healthy, and happy society we all would like to see. So, Banakti Oring, Agus Aran La Nua Sha. Blessings on us and on this new day.